I strode quickly through to the stockroom and, seeing a big, empty cardboard box on the floor, dealt it a vicious kick. I put so much venom into it that my foot went clear through the cardboard, and I was trying to free myself when Tristan came in. He had been stoking the fire and had witnessed the conversation. He watched silently as I plunged about the room, swearing and trying to shake the box loose. "What's up, Jim? Has my big brother been getting under your skin?" I got rid of the box at last and sank down on one of the lower shelves. "I don't know. Why should he be getting under my skin now? I've known him quite a long time, and he's always been the same. He's never been any different, but it hasn't bothered me before, not like this anyway. Any other time I'd laugh this sort of thing off. God, what the hell's wrong with me?" Tristan put down his coal bucket and looked at me thoughtfully. "There's nothing much wrong with you, Jim. But I can tell you one thing. You've been just a bit edgy since you went out with that Alderson woman." "Oh, God," I groaned and closed my eyes. "Don't remind me. Anyway, I've not seen or heard from her since. So that's the end of that, and I can't blame her." Tristan pulled out his woodbines and squatted down by the coal bucket. "Yes, that's all very well, but look at you. You're suffering, and there's no need for it. All right, you had a disastrous night, and she's given you the old heave-ho. Well, so what? Do you know how many times I've been spurned?" "Spurned? I never even got started." "Very well, then, but you're still going around like a bullock with a bellyache." "Forget it, lad, and get out into the big world. The rich tapestry of life is waiting for you out there. I've been watching you, working all hours, and when you're not working, you're reading up your cases in the textbooks. And I tell you, this dedicated vet thing is all right up to a point. But you've got to live a little. Think of all the lovely little lasses in Derby. You can hardly move for them. And everyone just waiting for a big, handsome chap like you to gallop up on his white horse. Don't disappoint them." He leant over and slapped my knee. "Tell you what. Why don't you let me fix something up? A nice little foursome, just what you need." "Oh, I don't know. I'm not keen, really." "Nonsense," Tristan said. "I don't know why I haven't thought of it before. This monkish existence is bad for you. Leave all the details to me." I decided to have an early night and was awakened around 11 o'clock by a heavy weight crashing down on the bed. The room was dark, but I seemed to be enveloped in beer-scented smoke. I coughed and sat up. "Is that you, Tris?"
"It is indeed,"
said the shadowy figure on the end of the bed.
"And I bring you glad tidings. You remember Brenda?
That little nurse I've seen you around with?"
"The very same." "Well, she's got a pal, Connie, who's even more beautiful. The four of us are going dancing at the Poulton Institute on Tuesday night."
The voice was thick with beery triumph.
"What, you mean me too?" "By God, I do, and you're going to have the best time you've ever had, I'll see to that."
He blew a last choking blast of smoke into my face and left, chuckling.